Today is the last day we're going to talk about the home, and kids are up here, so I've got something that I think you'll enjoy today. But let's start by going to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Actually, I'm going to go to this verse again tonight. I think one of the key chapters in the Bible concerning the home and children, Psalm 127. You might notice at the beginning of the psalm, and these might look like they were added by there by a study notes in a study Bible, but before verse number one, it says, it should say in your Bible at least, a song of degrees for Solomon. A song of degrees for Solomon. In fact, from Psalm 120 through Psalm 124, they all start with a song of degrees. Some of them are for David, some of them are for Solomon, are written by David. This one was written probably by David for his son Solomon. But these are 15 successive psalms. These songs, most people believe, were put together to be sung or chanted, what we would call today, in unison by the Israelites when they were on their way up towards Jerusalem. In fact, degrees literally means step upward. As they ascended to Jerusalem for various sacrifices, they would chant these psalms from Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. And this one in particular is for Solomon. It's a particular psalm. Is focused on succession of our faith across the generations. And David is giving advice here to his son Solomon. So think of that when we read this psalm. I ask you, if you found your place there, to stand to Psalm 127. And I usually say if you're able to stand. If you made it in the snow and the ice today, you're able to stand with us today. So we don't need to make that exception today. Psalm 127 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God today. We pray that you would speak to us as only you can. Lord, that there would be something that I would say that would point people to you to give us what we need. And most of all, we're trusting in the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And I pray if there's anyone here that's never trusted you as their Savior, or anyone listening in that's never trusted you as their Savior, God, especially that you would work in their hearts and show them that without Christ, not only is this life vain and empty, but eternity has nothing to look forward to. And I love that song that we heard just a minute ago. One day we'll leave everything behind. We'll be in your very presence, Lord. We long for that day. We think of a dear friend that stepped into your presence this week. And Lord, we're thankful for the hope that we have in Christ. Pray you bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a seat if you will, and I've spent a lot of time in this psalm personally as it deals with the home, and I've preached from this psalm a number of times, and at least twice I've preached a message from this psalm here, and I know I've done it a number of other places, focusing on a couple of verses, verse number 3 through 5, where it talks about children are likened to arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Now, as you know, I enjoy, and back Brother Rex Sr. stayed home today. He got me involved in introduced me, I guess, or encouraged me to go bow hunting the first time. And the first time I shot a deer, I got addicted to it. That's my life addiction since then. So blame it on him, all right? I have since used, in fact, usually when I preach this message, am I on here, Jeff? I'm on. I brought something with me today, all right? This is not the one I use anymore because I'm old and senile and feeble and use a crossbow now, which that has some advantages and disadvantages. And I was going to set up a target or have Isabel hold the target over there, but since Isabel didn't come, I decided I won't do that. Yeah, I was going to put a just have her stand behind that. And but I'm not going to actually go to that this morning. But I'm going to go a different direction in this message. In fact, if you look with me at a verse here before I put this down, verse number 4 says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Now, I've never focused on this one thing before when I preach from this chapter, but I'm going to just take one. And by the way, it talks about a quiver that's full of arrows. Notice how many arrows my quiver holds. My quiver is full. If we had 5 children, I'd have to get one that holds 5 arrows. But I'm just going to take one arrow out of this, and I'll just set that over here for now. I don't think that'll stay with that slippery floor. And we're just going to look at the arrow. Just the arrow today, all right? And kids, especially, this is for you. Now, tonight we'll look at the bow and the arrow and releasing the arrow for the adults. But for kids especially, as arrows are in the hand of a, so are children. The arrow is likened unto a child. Now, I want to go through the different parts of the arrow here and show you some things that the Scripture has to say about an arrow. Of course, we're talking about an arrow isn't much use if you can't use it properly. But I want to just look at the different parts. I've got 5 or 4 parts of the arrow that I want to mention today and show you Scripture for each one of them that I think we can draw a lesson from in the Scripture. Now, first of all, the main part of the arrow is what was referred to as the shaft. Now, let me just say this. I'm thankful that I grew up in a generation when kids could be kids. Huh? The other day, when it was below 0 outside, I had some errands to run. I drove by and saw some kids out in the middle of nowhere sledding down a hill. And I thought, oh, that brought back some memories. Most kids, most parents would not allow their children to go even outside, let alone out in the middle where they're all by themselves. So, and we used to just disappear on days like that and go sledding and just had a great old time. And that was before we had cell phones to check in. In fact, when I was a kid, we didn't even have a telephone in our house. And believe it or not, kids, we survived. We were just fine. And we just disappeared for the day. Didn't matter if it was hot, cold, whatever. Mom and Dad went to the grave without even knowing some of the things that we did, which was probably good. Because some of the things they found out later, they go, "You did what?" I'm glad that I grew up in a day when kids could be kids. And one of the things that we used to do when we were kids is, how many of you have ever made a bow and arrow? Huh? There's a couple of tricks to this. Of course, you got to get a flexible limb for the bow, and you can find a string anywhere. Or if you're good, you can find some different types of material in the woods that you don't need a string, but it's usually easier to find some kite string or use some of your sister's hair or something. No, we didn't do that. But Elizabeth's hair is long enough. And then we would have to find a very particular stick that we're going to use for an arrow. It's got to be straight. It's got to be smooth. Sometimes you got to take your knife and whittle it down a little bit so it's usable. And it's got to be stiffer than the one that you're using for the bow. Usually you get a green stick for the bow that's sturdy enough that will bend back into shape. But the arrow, you want something that's straight and narrow. If you turn your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter number 7, we're talking about the shaft here of the arrow. It's very important. Now, again, this arrow is likened unto a young person. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Remember now thy Creator, when you're still a youth. This is the time to learn to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. In fact, I've learned this in the years that I've watched people and my own children and other children. If we don't develop some things in our youth, they never will be developed. This is the time to be very careful, to be very sure that we are a straight piece of wood. And of course, this is not made out of wood anymore, but this is a carbon arrow. But Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 12 says, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the, what's that word? Straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to, what's that? Destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. When I think of this arrow, I think of a young person that's decided, I'm going to be straight. I'm going to be narrow. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to be different. And again, to find a long, straight stick in the woods is not an easy thing to do. You can find all kinds of them that are twisted and bent and gnarly, but to find one that's straight and usable is kind of a unique thing. It takes some searching around. I think God's searching around for some young people that are straight and narrow. What I mean by that is they have some character. They have some discipline. They have some leadership abilities that they will do what's right no matter if people are watching or not. And they will learn to do what's right and learn to obey and honor their parents. That's the shaft of the arrow. And then there's something that, actually there's a couple of things missing on this arrow you might have noticed. One of them is very important. In fact, without it, that arrow is not going to go anywhere. Without it, you're going to cause destruction to the bow and yourself and others around you without it. And that's this little piece. Does anybody know what's missing on this arrow? Let me give you a clue. It goes on this end. It's called the nock. And I've got a little dish here because I don't want to hurt myself. And I'm going to put it on. This is what's referred to as the nock. It's very important. Now, again, I use a crossbow now instead of this bow because my elbows don't work like they used to. If that thing's missing, you might as well forget it. One day, I think it was a couple of years ago, in my crossbow, when you cock it and get it ready, to release it, the only way you can release it is to shoot it at something. So I carry an old bolt that I'm going to shoot into the ground somewhere just to release it. I didn't know that while I was out hunting, the nock fell off that bolt that I put in the crossbow. And it was dark by this time of day, so I just kind of, out of habit, stuck it in there and pointed it to the ground and shot it, and the arrow just kind of did this, and the crossbow went every which way. I'm surprised it didn't take a finger or something off or something. But I thought, what in the world happened? The nock was missing. So there was nothing for the string to grab a hold of. So the string jumped over the arrow and it just kind of dribbled off the end, and it was dry fire. You never dry fire a bow like that, which I've done that before too. That's a bad thing. That's not a good thing to happen. Now, without it, without this knock, which I'm just going to slide that in there, and there's actually a certain way that that has to go in, which we'll get to in a little bit. But without it, the arrow is worthless. And it can cause great damage. It's the sure footing. There's nothing for the string to hold on to when it fires without that nock there. When we were kids, when we learned to shoot bows and arrows, we learned to, of course, you always had a pocket knife with you. Right, guys? Every boy has a pocket knife. And the first time you get it, you cut your finger with it. So mom and dad, when you get them the first pocket knife, just make sure you got a good supply of Band-Aids, all right? And they'll live through it. But we had to learn to carve that little nock on the end of the stick if we're going to use it for a bow, an arrow. Because without that nock, you couldn't do anything. You'd try to hold it and just kind of do this number. And that knock is something that is maybe the most important part of the arrow. In fact, if you turn to John chapter number 3, that knock is the foundation of everything. That knock is what makes us a usable arrow. We can have a straight shaft, we can have character, we can have discipline, but without that knock, and I'm going to say that knock can be identified with your salvation. Without salvation, that arrow can never be used. That arrow is completely useless. In John chapter number 3, there's a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Here's a man that's great character, a great leader. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, your arrow is not going to get you anywhere unless you have that knock in it. Unless you've been born again, Nicodemus saith unto him, Oh, how can a man be born of old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto ye, you must be born again. You see, that arrow is not really an arrow if it doesn't have an ock in it. It's just a straight stick. It's of no value as far as a weapon. Unless sometimes I take kids for a walk and I have a walking stick because you get old and start tripping over things. So you want a walking stick. And as soon as the kids see that I have my walking stick, they all want to find a walking stick. It's just kind of fun. And I said, that's not a walking stick, it's a whacking stick. Because they're just whacking everything with it instead of using it. But some of us kind of need that to help us walk a little bit. But then there's something else. Now, an arrow has to have a shaft, of course. That's the straight and narrow shaft. It has some character, some discipline. And then, very important that it has that knock, or it'll never be used as an arrow. That, of course, is a picture of our salvation. And then there's something that used to be made out of feathers. Now it's a little piece of plastic. Somebody tell me what these are called. One of you guys, I don't know if any adults know. Any kids know what those things are called? Starts with an F. Fletching. That's good. The fletching. Notice that there are three feathers, or three fletches, if you will, on there. Now, without the fletching, and by the way, when we were kids, we never quite figured out how to put fletching on the arrows. So oftentimes when we shot our arrows without that fletching, what did they do when they left the bow? They kind of went like this. Well, that's not going to do much good for hunting. I can't even shoot one of our cats. Oh, of course I wouldn't do that. The best you're going to do is scare something away with that. It's not going to go straight. That fletching is something that's very important. Of course, there's, how many are there? Three of them. Like, why are there always three? I mean, it's important that there's three. God is a triune God, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We as human beings are made of three parts, a body, a soul, and a spirit. If one of those is missing, it will still fly, but not real good. Now, I have some arrows that the fletching, I use them for practice arrows or whatever, and the fletching's kind of gone or falling off, and it's not there. And they don't fly as true unless all three of them are there. Now, they can get at least close to the target, but they're not going to get exactly where you want them to go without all three. Turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 in your Bible. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 is what I want. We've been looking at these verses in Sunday school. And I want you to see a phrase that's made here in this verse. Colossians chapter number 3. Now, when you were born into this world, you were not a trichotomy, but you were a dichotomy. In other words, you had two parts. The third part was dead. You had a body that screamed and cried and flailed around and filled diapers, and mom and dad had to eat all the feed all the time, and that was your body. You had a soul. That's your mind, your heart, your emotions. Everyone that's born has a body, and they have a soul. That's your inner being, if you will. But spiritually, you were born dead. You didn't have everything there when you were born. And when you're born again, you get the third part. Now look at what Colossians says in chapter number 2 and verse number 6. It says, "As ye therefore have received Jesus Christ your Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, established in the faith that ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." In other words, you've been saved, you've been born again, and you've got that third feather or fletch, if you will, the veins on that the arrow. And now you've got that third one. He says, "Beware lest any man through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And now notice verse number 10. "And ye are," what's the word? "Complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." In other words, He is the third person that makes you a complete person. You are born spiritually dead. When you were born again, you became spiritually alive. You were given your third feather, if you will. You got three feathers in your cap. All right? You were made complete in Him. Now, I think it's something more than that with this fletching. The three veins, the V-A-N-E-S, of the arrow. And by the way, do you notice one of them is different than the other? What's the difference? Ben, can you tell me what's different with the one? It's a different color. That one is very important. In fact, that one, when you put it on an arrow, in fact, the way I put the nock on here has to be facing a certain way, because that feather, that fletch, the vein, has to be facing against, if you're going against an arrow, if you have it that way, it's going to, if it goes this way, it doesn't disturb the flight of the arrow as much. So you always have that one mark. That one's always a unique vein that's different. The other, in other words, that's the important one. Now, a crossbow, you want that one down. On a bow, you want it against, so that the side, and it's just to make sure it has a smooth path when it leaves. Otherwise, that feather or vein will jar it so much that it puts it off the target. So that one is a more important vein than the other. And I want to talk about the triunity, not only of God, but the triunity of man, but the triunity of Christian growth. If we're going to grow like we should as Christians, there are three things that need to be a part of our life, and one of them is more important than the other two. And the first one is the Bible itself. That's that's called the index vein, is what that is. The vein that's different, it's usually a different color. Makes it stand out. That's the index vein. That's the most important one. If we're going to be the Christian that God wants us to be, if we're going to grow in our Christian life, this book needs to be the most important thing in our life. We need to love this book like nothing else. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." Boy, if I had a pot of gold up here, wouldn't that be fun to have that thing? Anything you want, you could have it. But God said this book is more valuable than all the gold in the world. This book tells us everything. We ought to not only read this book, we ought to study this book. The Bible says we ought to delight in this book. Now, I like that word, delight. Whenever I hear the word delight, I think of, in the summertime here, one of my favorite places in town to go is Dairy Delight, huh? Oh, I love that place. And we ought to delight in the Word of God more than anything else, more than any habit, more than any pleasure, more than life itself. We ought to delight in the Word of God if we're going to be an arrow that's useful for God. We've got to have that fletching. And the index fletching is the Bible. The other, of course, there's two other ones. What are they? So, you know, I think the triunity of church, of Christian growth. Secondly, we need to have a prayer life. We need to know what it is to pray. We need to know how it is to get a hold of God. And it's something that none of us have ever mastered. We're constantly growing. In fact, I usually start my prayers this way. Of course, there's a lot of things we say in prayer when we're talking to the Lord, but often when I'm talking to the Lord, I say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Because I don't know how to pray. I've never learned completely how to pray. We never stop growing in that area. And we're not perfect in that area. Oftentimes our prayers, in fact, I just jotted down a few reasons why I know from experience and can show you Scripture why our prayers are not answered the way God wants to answer our prayers. Because oftentimes we pray in our own vanity. We pray for our own purpose. We desire things and we pray for them because we want them. We pray after our own lust. We pray when our faith is not what it ought to be. God says we ought to pray believing. We pray when we are not forgiving of someone. God says, I'm not going to hear your prayers if you're not forgiving your brother in Christ. If you have aught against somebody, you might as well forget your prayer. You're not going to get anything true to God. We pray because we don't get our prayers answered because our flesh gets in our way. Our pride gets in our way. Our self-righteousness, our stubbornness, our rebellion often gets in our way of our answered prayer, our sin nature. Wrong relationships. We talked about that verse a while ago. And our message is on the home. If our relationships are not what they ought to be in the home, God's not going to hear our prayers. That your prayers be not hindered. If you're not right with your mom or dad or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife, God's not going to answer your prayer. But that prayer, that vein is very important if we're going to be an effective weapon in God's arsenal. And then thirdly, there's another vein, and I think, oh, this is so important. The vein of the church. The church. You say, well, I don't need a church. There's a bunch of sinners there. What am I? That's exactly what I am. You say, oh, I'll join. I hadn't been to this church very long, and somebody said, well, I decided that we're going to go look for another church, a family in our church, said, we're going to go look for another church. And he started listing all the things with this church. And I just kind of casually said, well, you'll never find a perfect church. And he said, you know, I always wonder why people say that, because we ought to have a perfect church. I thought he was kidding, to be quite honest with you, but he was dead serious. There's no reason we can't have a perfect church. Well, the problem is, a church is made up of people. And we're all sinners. And if we don't see our own sin, we're the worst sinner of the whole bunch. We're imperfect. You know, the church is called to be a body of Jesus Christ. We're an imperfect body. Jesus was, when he was here, he's the only perfect body. We're an imperfect body. I like what one pastor said. He's kind of kidding, kind of said it tongue in cheek, I've got this many, instead of saying, you know, what's your attendance in your church or how many people in your church, he said, I don't have people, I have problems. Instead of 100 people, he said, I got 100 problems in my church. I knew what he meant. He doesn't mean being critical or anything, but the reality is every one of us has problems. In fact, we got 100 people. I can guarantee you we got about 700 problems or more, because every one of us has a problem. And that's why we need a church, to help each other to overcome those difficulties in our life. By the way, if we add something to to this arrow, it affects the flight of the arrow. We take something away, it affects. If we take the Bible away, we're not going to fly like we ought to. If we take our prayer life away, if we take the church away. You know, when I was a kid, my parents weren't too thrilled about this, but one of my sisters, we used to draw names when we had Christmas time, and everybody, instead of everybody getting everybody a gift, and in fact, my mom and dad joined in on the game, so they didn't have to buy a gift for everybody. Boy, what a ripoff, huh, kids? So everybody got one gift for Christmas time. I remember one year my sister had my name when I was, I was probably about Ben's age, I guess, and she bought me something, and my mom and dad's jaw about dropped. I mean, my jaw dropped first, and then I looked at them, and they were, she bought me a bow and arrow. My parents didn't want us to have weapons because they knew what we could do with homemade weapons. They didn't want us to have store-bought weapons, I can guarantee you. I actually had a bow and arrow that I had. It's like a 35-pound test bow that shot. It's kind of a practice bow, but I had a lot of fun with that thing. It was so much better than those ones that we were making all the time. But one of the things that I did that probably shouldn't have, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I found out that I had some little pieces of balsa wood about that long and just real thin, lightweight wood. And I found out if I taped that to the arrow, I had to hold down here so and then shoot that thing with a piece of wood on it. It did some pretty cool things. I mean, I got that arrow to go way up in the air and come down and land right at my feet. I'm glad it landed there and not in my back, but I got that arrow to go, straight all the way across the neighbor's field. It just went in a straight, depending on where that was on the arrow. And that was a cool experiment. And where that thing was made a difference in that flight. That added thing caused that thing to be really quite dangerous, but I was a kid. Danger, whatever. And the first few times it went up and came down and landed right on the roof of the house. The roof always leaks anyway. Dad will never know what that came from. So, I had all kinds of, and just added that. And a lot of folks are trying to add things to their life that really shouldn't be there. They really, you'd be better off, as far as the use what you're designed to do, you'd be better off without it. And adding things is sometimes just, and we got a lot of folks that are trying to add things to their Christianity rather than just using it the way God designed. But there's one other thing that's actually still missing in this arrow. Does anybody know what it is? What? The point, the head of the arrow. There's nothing here. By the way, that helps also. Not as much as the fletching, but that helps the arrow to fly straight. In fact, the arrows that we used to make, we found out that they need to be has some kind of weight at the end. We rigged up a few different things. We could do that, but the fletching, anything we put on, would kind of come off when it went by the bow. But that helped it to go straight if there was more weight in the front. Even without the fletching, that helped. Now, I actually brought a couple of different... And by the way, that the weight of that fletching is important. My arrows, I put a 100-gram fletching. That's going to determine how much penetration that arrow has when it hits its target. It's going to determine how far it goes. If it's too heavy, it'll drop sooner than you want it to drop. But you want it heavy enough that when it hits its target, if it doesn't have any weight to it, it's just going to hit the target and just kind of bounce right off and not penetrate and not do stick even into your target. These new arrows, of course, they have a spine that's threaded that you thread the different head into the arrow. But I want you to notice there's a lot of different kinds of points to an arrow. This is what I refer to. Actually, this is not a true practice. This one would be for hunting small game because it has a really sharp point. Usually a practice one, you want more of a blunt point, but I thought that's kind of, could shoot squirrels or something with that, or the neighbor's cats. Or, of course, I wouldn't do that. Or rabbits or something, if you could hit them with that. And it would do fine. But there are many variations in the type of heads that you can use. Now, I don't have one because I have never used one, used them before. But there are heads that you can use for a small game. You maybe have seen them in a sporting goods store. They almost look like a bird's claw. They have little tiny wires, usually three little wires sticking out that when they hit something or shoot a bird with it, it'll actually grab them like a claw and then they will drop down. There's some that are used for fishing. You ever seen somebody fish with a bow and arrow? I've never done that, partially because it doesn't work too good in a kayak because you don't have room to set things up. And they, of course, have a different, they have almost like a fish hook that'll go in, but it won't come out of the fish when you hit it. And then it's got a string so you can pull it in when you catch it. And the ones that I use the most of, be careful with this because they're sharp. This is a broadhead that would be used for deer. And there are different even kinds, variations. That's a fixed blade. This is a mechanical blade. But all of these do have, no matter what variation you use, they all have to be the same weight because it's going to affect how that arrow flies and how far it goes before it starts dropping. So we want to make sure that if you're going to practice, of course, you use that to practice, it's going to get dull and break before long. You shoot that into the target, it's going to ruin the target and ruin the blade. So you have a practice point on there that needs to be the same weight, or it's going to dramatically affect the way that arrow flies if it's a different weight. And that got me thinking, of course, it'd be a foolish thing to shoot maybe a rabbit with one of those. And I have a mechanical head that I use sometimes. There's good and bad, which that's closed when it goes through the air, and then it opens up and makes a rather large cut in an animal. I remember one time, it was rabbit season. I wasn't out of season, and I thought, I see a rabbit. That I'm going to see if I can hit that rabbit with my arrow. And I had one of these and almost sliced the thing in half, but I got the rabbit. He didn't go very far. That's kind of a overkill, pun intended, of the rabbit to use that. I mean, one like that would have been fine. But I say all that to say there's something, the variety in the head is something I want you to see here for a minute. If you go back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I liken that to something. Now, the shaft is speaking of walking in character and discipline. Walking the straight and narrow, having care, doing what's right. The knock, we said that that's can be pictured with our what? Our salvation. And the fletching has to do with our spiritual growth. The one that's the predominant one, the one that's the index vein, the most important vein, is reference to the Bible, our relationship with the Bible. And then the next one is prayer, and the next one is church. Now, there's something that's very important when it comes to the head, the point, the arrow, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we read in verse number 1 of spiritual gifts. And again, every one of these heads of an arrow has a specific purpose. All of them are the same weight, but all of them are not used for the same thing. Each one is unique in itself. Depending on what you're going to use that arrow for is going to determine what kind of head you're going to put on it. And I, as the hunter, the one who's going to shoot that arrow, decides which head I'm going to use, which one I'm going to use for the purpose that I've designed, that I've chosen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into the dumb idols, even as ye are led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, but that no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts. They're different gifts. Now, the head is a picture of the gifts of the Spirit. But the same Spirit. They're all given by the same Spirit. They're all the same weight. They're all the same way. They have different shapes. They have different purposes. But they're all the same weight. And they're chosen by the one who uses the arrow. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities in operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given a spirit of the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge of the same Spirit, and another the faith the spirit of the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, and another prophecy, and another discerning of spirits, and another diverse kinds of tongues, and another of interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, God is the one that determines what gifts, what abilities you have. Now, some people, God's given them the gift, the ability to do certain things. Other people say, well, I can't do that. I'm not as good as you. Hello. Well, I don't know what that was. We got hit by thunder snow, I think, is what that was. We think, well, I'm not as good. This point here might say, well, I can't take down a deer. I'm not good for anything. No, you're very necessary. In fact, the rest of the chapter talks about every one of them has their purpose. Every one of them has their goal. You use a broadhead that's designed to take down small birds, and you shoot that into a deer. It's going to hit them and fall out, and the deer's going to say, what was that? And just walk away. It's not designed for that. To try to do something that God didn't give us the ability to do would be defeating the purpose that God has for us. What are the spiritual gifts? There's three different places in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter number 4. And not all places lists the same spiritual gifts. In fact, I conclude from that there are many spiritual gifts that are not even mentioned in the Bible. Brother Todd has a gift of working on vehicles. Now, I don't see cars mentioned in the Bible. They must not be. That's not biblical to work on vehicles. praise the Lord for that. God's given us abilities. Well, however you want to define that gift, God's given you the ability to do something. You ought to do the best you can at it. And don't worry about doing things that God's given other people the talent, the ability to do. That's not my responsibility. That's their responsibility. But all of them are important. All of them must be the same weight. God's design, and God chooses which one we have. Liken that to your life. Now, tonight we're going to talk about shooting that arrow. But before we can be used of God, we've got to be an arrow that can be used of Him. We've got to be straight. We've got to have some character. We need to make sure that we're saved. Without salvation, we're not all there. We're not even complete yet in Him. And we need to give ourselves to the Bible. We need to give ourselves to prayer. We need to give ourselves to church and center our life around the Bible and around prayer and around the church and walking with God. And we need to find out what it is that I can do. This morning, some young men came out here to help shovel the snow. And this was a practice, because next time I'm going to say, you guys take care of the shoveling for me today, all right? I helped them out and I coached them a little bit today. And I was kind of laughing at some of the things they did, but they'll learn. Someone realized, boy, I don't have a gift for this. I think I'm going to stay inside and drink hot chocolate while somebody else is out there shoveling, huh? That's my gift, to drink hot chocolate while you're out there doing the work, huh? Did you decide that, Connor? But God's given us, and we got to find out what it is that we can do. We got to find out what God's given us that we can be a part of the body that God's designed us to be a part of. Not to think that we're better, or not to think that we've got this all figured out. And I've learned this, that God's given you the ability to do something. You do that faithfully, God's going to add some other things to that. Don't limit what God can use you to do. But keep walking with Him, keep trusting with Him, and allowing Him to use you and allow Him to choose. And God will open doors of opportunity for you. And sometimes we want to shy away. Well, I don't think I could do that. God says, hey, if I've opened the door and I've prompted you to do it, God's going to give you the ability to do it. And God will give you the grace to do what He's called you to do. And I would encourage you to learn from that arrow how to be a young person or an adult of character. Make sure you're saved. Make sure that the Bible is the most important thing in your life. Make sure that prayer and church are important, or you're going to be wandering the wrong direction. And make sure you know what God's called you to do, and do what God's called you and how God's directed. I'm going to ask you to stand here.